November 5th is fast approaching. According to one tally from the New York Times, right now there are more active legal battles about Election Day than there are days until the actual election. The latest battle is in Georgia. Democrats filed a lawsuit Monday against the state's election board to block a new rule requiring every ballot to be hand-counted. The Republican-controlled board passed the rule earlier this month. Many Democrats and some Republicans, including Georgia's Attorney General and Secretary of State, have raised concerns with that.
We all know that the Democrats have turned mail-in voting into their secret rule-bending weapon. They've fine-tuned the system, and frankly, they've been using it very successfully to, shall we say, manipulate election outcomes, whether it's ballot harvesting or pushing questionable votes through the mail. They've exploited every loophole they can find. And I think you'll agree, it is time for Republicans to start fighting back, fight fire with fire. And that's why I'm so excited to have Cliff Maloney here with us today. Cliff, he is the man. He's coming straight from the front lines in the battle for the great swing state of Pennsylvania. He's the brilliant mind behind the Pennsylvania Chase, an initiative that's aiming to even the score by ensuring Republicans use mail-in voting to their full potential in this key swing state. He's got an amazing Twitter handle, I guess we should call it X handle now, that you'll definitely want to subscribe to, which I do. I check it out each and every day. I actually featured Cliff in one of our, a lead in one of our videos a few days back. He's just awesome and has great information. So, Cliff, great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us, man. It's awesome to meet you.
Honored to be with you, Dr. Steve. Love your work. Love your audience. A lot of patriots. So happy to be here.
Well, we love you and we love the work you're doing. We can't thank you enough. Again, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, on November 6th, I mean, Scott Pressler, I mean, Trump's got to give you guys gold medals, man. You guys have gone above and beyond. Seriously, dude, I know you're very humble, but I'm serious. We couldn't do this without you. You really are just, you're on the front lines and you're doing it. I mean, for those who don't know, can you just give us a quick overview of what the Pennsylvania Chase is, what it's all about, what motivated you to start the initiative? You know, I'm just curious too, if you don't mind, just don't you think Republicans are, they have, as you're answering this, but just Republicans have a, they just have this sort of anxiety about mail-in voting. And I'm just curious how you were able to overcome that in this whole process.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Look, I always start off by saying I hate mail-in ballots, and CNN and MSNBC make fun of me for that because they say, oh, you know, the guy running the ballot chase says he hates ballot chasing. Look, but those are the rules, right? So I'm not here to advocate for right. them. I'm here to say that I don't want to forfeit the election. I'm not just going to complain. We're going to figure out, okay, as you said in your lead-in, how do we fight fire with fire and match the Democrat tactic? So let me take you back. I think that's a great question. What motivated me to launch the PA Chase? So I'm originally from Pennsylvania. My whole family's in Delaware County. I was born and raised there. I went to college out in Johnstown, spent a lot of time on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. But I got involved in politics back in 2012. Ron Paul really opened my eyes to the idea of inflation, the Federal Reserve, and kind of sound money in our entire federal government just being way out of control. He was the first person that really introduced me to the uniparty and understanding that, yes, mm-hmm. Democrats are the enemy, but the Republican establishment, they don't help too much either.
No, they sure don't.
So I've kind of had that mindset. 2016, I was Rand Paul's national youth director, and I really saw the Democrats during that presidential race. I really saw how they were able, especially down ballot, to hone in on door knocking, and Republicans really struggled with that. And I just saw this tactic, and I said, you know, why can't we do that on our side? And so pretty much 2018, 2020, and 2022, I have gone all in on door knocking. We've knocked over 6 million doors for different PACs, wow. different organizations, and we've won over 310 legislative races. And all those, for the most part, at the state level. But here's what happened, Steve. In Pennsylvania in 2022, we had a bunch of big races we won in the primary. We took out some Rhino incumbents, 30-year incumbents, appropriations chairs in the House and Senate, and we replaced them with patriots. But in the general election with these new rules, I mean, people were barely skating by on the Republican side that were in like R+8, R+12 districts. And so what motivated me was we started to look at the numbers. And then I got out some outreach from the RNC, Trump's team, people at Turning Point, and they pretty much said, look, Cliff, Pennsylvania's your home state. You guys knock more doors than anybody. How do we convince you with your organization in PA, Citizens Alliance of Pennsylvania, how do we encourage and convince you to own the ballot chase portion of the 2024 election? And so, I mean, we'll talk about it, Steve, but that was kind of the precipice of, okay, we looked at the numbers, we understood we could go back to our home state, we could run this thing, and the program we launched, the PA Chase, is simple. We're hiring 120 full-time ballot chasers. They've been in the field since September 1. 6 days a week they're knocking, 10 to 7. We're going to knock 500,000 doors. And the stat I want to make sure every one of your listeners remembers is in 2020, Trump lost PA by 80,000 votes. But there were 141,000 Republicans who requested a mail-in ballot and never sent it back. So for anybody wondering, what are we doing at the PA Chase? We're solving that problem to win PA.
That's so awesome. That's so key. I've come across that stat before. Stats comparable to that in Nevada and Arizona. Hundreds of thousands of Republicans getting their mail-in, but requesting, but never sending it in. I mean, that's where the ballot harvesting really, really kicks in. It's relevant. Why do you think mail-in voting has been such a stronghold for Democrats in particular? I mean, I know Deep Blue California basically mandated it back in 2018. I mean, why are Democrats so attracted to it? Is it because of the Carter Commission, what the Carter Commission warned about? What's your opinion on that?
Well, let me talk about the Republican culture on mail-in ballots, because when we first agreed to do this, I was nervous that we were still in the 2020 mindset and it would be problematic to try to get Republicans to request a ballot and then send it in rather than vote on election day. So here's how I break it down. In 2020, we all said, look, don't vote by mail. There's too much potential for fraud. I agreed with that. Trump agreed with that. The RNC, everybody said it, and we acted accordingly. In 2021, we said, maybe the courts will fix it. They didn't. In 2022, we said, maybe the legislature will. Well, in Pennsylvania, we lost the House. So forget about that. And the lawmakers didn't fix it. So then in 2023, Steve, the numbers came back in PA, and they were horrible. And if you look, since they've changed the rules during COVID, Republican statewide candidates have averaged 20% to the Democrats' 80% on mail-in ballots. So think about that.
Wow.
You're going into the election, you're down 20 to 80 trying to win. Now, we've had some close races that we almost pulled off. But I tell people when they ask me, you know, what's the measurable goal for on November 6th, or probably more like, you know, December 1, once we're through all the court battles, that will happen. Happy to talk about it. But what's the goal that we measure our success by? And this is what I tell them. If we've averaged 20%, if we get that share of mail-in ballots, Republican to Democrat, if Republicans can get 33%, we cannot lose PA. We've modeled it. We ran the numbers. Now, that's solving the problem. There is a short-term fix. We can be competitive at 26, 27, 28%, but I like to go for gold, right? Go big or go home. I want to solve this thing.
Yeah.
And so I tell people out there that the culture has changed. Republicans are opening up to this. And the advantage that I really think folks don't understand is if you're the Democrats in 2020, your voters had 50 opportunities to vote. The Republicans had one opportunity. And when you look at that, you ask me, why do they have the advantage? Yeah. Because you have so many opportunities to vote. And so just naturally,
it's true,
the environment created this advantage. But if we get that to 33%, we fix it, and we can't lose PA with all the statewides.
And you're talking about the 50 days leading up to the election, correct?
And technically chances. Monday was that date. The Secretary of State or the Department of State has delayed that a little bit in PA, but we expect ballots to start hitting sometime in the next 4 to 5 days, and that's why we're on the ground, right? Because once they go out, we're going to war.
That's so awesome. And so at this point right now, so I'm following, I think it was from your Twitter feed, X feed. I got to get used to that. Me and my old habits. But is the Republican request around 24-26%, something like that right now?
We're at about, I believe it's 26%. Let me share some raw numbers with the listeners and viewers here, because this to me is where it's valuable. If you look at this time in 2020 compared to this time now, obviously, for 24. So let's look at 50 days out, the most recent numbers that have hit. We're talking requests, right? We're not talking about ballots returned.
Right. They haven't returned them yet. These are requests, right?
But when you break down the party requests, Democrats are down 303,000 raw requests from where they were at this time in 2020. Republicans are down 50,000 raw requests. Now, Democrats are still in the lead, don't get me wrong, in terms of totals, but Democrats need the mail-in vote support they had in 2020. That's how they bank their votes. That's how they run up the score. And so you look at the net right now, compared to 2020, we are 250,000 better off when it comes to requests. And to me, that's a huge win, right?
In terms of the margin, the way that we've squeezed into that margin, right?
Correct. And I tell people, look, they say, oh, the left comes after me. Cliff, there was a pandemic. Didn't you know? It's like, listen, I know that. But when somebody doesn't have 50 days to vote and they only have one, we as Republicans have learned they're much less likely to vote. And so I just have to like say that again and again and again. We are 250,000 better than where we were in 2020 when it comes to requests at this time. That should give everybody optimism. Forget the polling, forget the pundits, forget the debate analysis. The energy is not there for Kamala Harris. And if you're rooting for Trump, that should put you in high spirits and really make you think we're going to win PA. And by the way, you win PA, you win the White House. Now, Doc,
it's over.
I got to tell you, when they assigned or at least encouraged me to do Pennsylvania, you know, we didn't know where we'd be 2 months out, right? We didn't know if Pennsylvania would be a foregone conclusion, either for Republicans or Democrats. Well, we're ground zero, right? Nate Silver puts Pennsylvania at a 96.1% chance that if Trump wins PA, he wins the White House. Yeah. This is the path. So it's exciting to be back in my home state, this being the state that will decide the White House. It's pretty awesome.
And you guys are crushing it in terms of voter registration. I mean, just which is a very important indicator. I was just reading and I love how you said it too. Stop looking at the polls, because this is the real poll that matters. What you're talking about right now, these are polls are opinion polls are suggestive. Elections are decisive, and you're actually getting fixed data on election and what's happening here. But I was looking at one, I think it was with Iowa, that found that every time Democrats had a registration advantage, 2008, 2012, things like that, they won. They would take the state. Anytime Republicans could get a 1, 2, 3% advantage, just in terms of where the trajectory is moving, they tended to win Iowa. So, I mean, again, this is where I think Scott Pressler's been doing amazing stuff. You as well. I did. I just came across this stat. It may have been from your ex file. 42,000 registrations just in the last 2 weeks. 2-1 Republican. 46% Republican. 29% Democrat. Dude, that's nuts. That's awesome. I used to live in Bucks County years ago. My second daughter, my second oldest daughter, was born in Bucks County. I remember it's a Manhattan, you know, sleepover. Everybody works in New York there. It's always Democrat. You guys flipped it. it was what in 2020 is 15,000 plus Democrat. It's now plus 2,000 Republican. I mean, you're right. It just seems like the energy is just all with Trump and the MAGA movement right now.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to choose between which side I'd like to be on, just from an operative standpoint, right, not ideology, I would much rather be where we are. I mean, the Dems had a 700,000 voter registration advantage compared to Republicans in 2020. That's just over 300,000 now. I mean, we've cut that in half. And I have to give...
Yeah, it's been slashed in half.
Right, I have to give so much credit to Scott Pressler. You know, we have done some registration, but by all means, I mean, Scott's at every gun show. He's at every rally. He's at every conservative event. I mean, that's his bag, right? And he has crushed it. He has motivated so many people that, look, just 1, 2, 5 voter registrations at an event. Yeah, but if 100 people are doing it, you know, every day, that's where the numbers are. So you mix that the actual boots on the ground with people like Early Vote Action with Scott, you mix that with the idea that just the message of, are you better now than you were under a Trump administration? Yeah. I mean, that's why the momentum is happening. It's not just organic, it's also organized. You put those together, which Obama, I'll take this out of his playbook and I'll admit it, he really was the first person to master that. Have organic support, but be organized. You do both of those, and it's very tough to, it's very tough to lose.
So overall, the picture from the front lines is, as far as Pennsylvania is concerned, the overall requests for mail-in ballots are dramatically down from where they were in 2020. So that tells me there's going to be less shenanigans, because that's where all the shenanigans tended to be. So they're dramatically down. Democrats, their percentage of the requests are down. And Republicans' percentage of requests are down, but the margin between the Republicans and the Democrats has shrunk significantly from 2020. Correct?
All that is accurate. One number that really gets me excited, you know, 2020 to me is the best data, but with pandemic, it's kind of tough. 2022, it was a midterm, so you'd expect a drop off. But if you just look at the 2022 numbers and you compare the percentage of increase, because both parties have increased since 22, Democrats are up about 19% at this time compared to 2022 at this time. Republicans are up over 85%. And so what I tell people is this shows me, this is since 22, right? Not 20. Both parties are down when comparing to 2020. But what this tells me is Republicans are adapting, right? We are realizing, and by the way, this is something I have to say on your show, Steve. I'm not trying to move any voter from election day to vote by mail. If you vote election day and you vote in every election, vote on election day, right? To the folks watching this that are in the weeds, that believe in the Constitution, that understand the principles of free markets, this message is not for you. The people we're going to get them to request a mail-in ballot or to send it back are folks that have voted in one or zero of the last four elections. Right. So we have two phases with the PHAs. September 1 until the ballots go out is phase one. We're talking to people that voted in zero or one of the last four elections that are Republicans. And we're saying, listen, Bob, I know you're registered Republican. We see you haven't voted in the last couple elections. We've got a way to make it much easier for you. Right. Fill out this request form. Let's send this in. A ballot will come to your house much easier. Once ballots go out, Steve, we flip our whole universe over. And we're just targeting people that have a ballot sitting on their dining room table. And the nice thing for me, a lot of the doors that we knock are in heated primaries or in swing voters in a general where, you know, you're talking policy positions and issues and persuasion. These are the easiest doors we've ever knocked. You're literally going to people that are aligned and you're saying, hey, I know you've got a ballot. Can you commit to sending it in today? And here's the secret Democrat strategy that we're using. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm just taking their playbook. They go back every week because you get the data. We know who submitted a ballot. You don't know who they voted for. But every week, we're looking at who said they would vote, that committed at the door. And if their ballot's not in, we go back to their house. Next week, same thing. So this is what the Democrats do. They call it the power of annoyance. We've gotten our hands on their training slides. The power of annoyance, or the power of annoying the voter, seems a little unethical to me, but Democrats, they're serious people. They have serious tactics. This is power. This is control. This is access. So if it works, we're taking their playbook.
Yeah. Fight fire with fire. It's awesome. That is so, so freaking cool. Dude, I mean, I'm like speechless. That's so I'm picturing it. Do you have any data or information on the Amish vote? I know obviously they are going to be very concerned about a Kamala Harris administration, especially with food freedom and what we saw with Amos Miller happening of late and so forth. Are we seeing any kind of efforts to galvanize the Amish to vote, probably, I'm assuming, by mail?
Yeah, absolutely. So one, Scott Presser has been working them like crazy to get them registered, which has been fantastic work. I know the state GOP, even the RNC, You know, there's been a lot of registration efforts to get them activated. We have a pretty large universe of Amish that we are targeting to PA Chase. One of the reasons is because some of them fall in Scott Perry's district. So let me share with you the targets, or at least the top lines on our targets, Steve, because I think a lot of people just think Trump and it's about winning for Trump. Well, look, all the statewides, they don't care where we're knocking as long as we're talking to Republicans. So Trump, McCormick, Garrity, Tim, Dave Sunday, they love us, right? Because every door we knock on, they're on the ballot. But we have other battles where we can kill two birds or maybe even three birds with one stone. Scott Perry is our top target at the congressional level. Okay, former Freedom Caucus chairman, congressman in Dauphin, Cumberland counties. You know, he is somebody that is extremely vulnerable. The Democrats are going to spend over $10 million. So we're spending, we have 10 Airbnbs across the Commonwealth. Three of them are in Scott Perry's district. So 30% of our effort is literally within Scott Perry's district because it's so valuable. We need him representing us. The other targets are the state house seats we can flip or defend to take back the PA state house so we can hold Josh Shapiro accountable, right? So there are different pieces of where we are. It's not just all the biggest density for Trump. It's where can we target the statewides are on every ballot. Where can we have the most impact to secure liberty across PA? So back to the Amish, Scott Perry has an Amish community, you know, in his district. And so it's kind of lined up perfectly. And we've even gotten some direct funding for us to go in and target them specifically. So we're all in. And I think that that's going to be interesting. Awesome. We'll pull a report afterwards to see how impactful it is. You know, one of the things I get in trouble for is being a little too transparent. If it works, I'll tell you. If it doesn't work, I'll tell you. But this is the first cycle I feel there's a real plan to try to tap into that community.
I'm sensing that from everything you said, and also just your tweeting out that for there. I like how you put it. We're combining organic with organization. Gotta have both so they knock sparks off each other. Also, I've noticed the Rich Barris, People's Pundit's data polling, data analysis found that you were mentioning sort of the low propensity to no propensity voter, those who either haven't voted before or who voted very rarely, overwhelmingly go with Trump right now. They saw the same thing with the Brexit vote back in 2016. The reason why the UK elite were so shocked is they thought the more people that came out, the more it would benefit the Remainers who want to stick with Brussels. It was the opposite. The more the people came out, the more particularly rural folks said, finally, we got something to vote for. Let's get out of Brussels. Let's get out of the EU. And Rich Barris is saying it's basically the same thing here. The more people that come out, particularly in PA, those low propensity, no propensity voters, it's like 80% Trump. They're just going to crush it. So he thinks this is the first time. I'm hearing a lot of firsts in 2024. He thinks this is the first time that a bigger electorate inordinately benefits a Republican.
Yeah, well, let me tell you why, because I totally agree with Rich. He's a patriot. Love all the stuff he puts out and all his content. In 2020, the Democrats realized right away with the rule change, and whether you want to say it was intentional or not, they realized that there were about 900,000 Democrats that were low propensity. Because listen, 10 years ago, before this, it was the opposite. Like you just said, right? Usually, Republicans are very avid. They're going to get out. They're going to vote. We take our civics very seriously. We care about the Constitution. And Democrats, a lot of them were like, well, we'll see if we vote, but, you know, we're pretty liberal, but we don't care. You know, we'll give it a shot. What happened was when they changed the rules, there were 900,000 Democrats that were low propensity. But at the time, there were probably about the same when it comes to Republicans in PA. And these are, just to be clear, these are registered voters who are not likely to vote. And so Democrats targeted all of them like crazy in 2020. And so a lot of these people are now on the vote by mail request form, or the request rolls. And so when you get a ballot sent to your house, I mean, I don't want to say it's 100%, but if you saw the numbers of how many people went from low propensity to a stable voter, a high propensity voter, once you become a mail-in voter, pretty much all of them become folks that are voting consistently.
Huh.
And so since Democrats targeted them in 2020 and Republicans didn't, just speaking freely, under Ronna McDaniel, this was not a priority. It is now. And I give Whatley and Laura Trump a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
And the synergy has been great between all of us. I mean, we share all of our data legally with the RNC, and it's a very much a great working relationship between Citizens Alliance with the PHAs, Early Vote Action, Turning Point Action, the RNC. It's a kumbaya moment, which we've needed.
I love it.
But Republicans, this is the first cycle we've done it. So Rich Barris is correct in that there's this disparity between the low propensity Democrats versus Republicans, but it's because the Democrats went out and did the work in 2020 and got them all on the request roll. I think after this cycle, you're going to see some parity. It'll be pretty even because we're actually doing the work to get our folks to become much more likely to request, which means they're much more likely to become high propensity. So I think he's right, but I think it's because in 2020, the Democrats went all in. Now we're doing the same thing.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. What can our audience do to get involved here, to help you out, give you whatever resources you need to keep with this amazing fight?
Yeah, so there's two major ways to help. Number one is if you can be on the ground in PA, or if you want to volunteer remotely, PAChase.com. We have folks sending postcards, text messages, making calls. But if you want to come out and help us chase ballots, we do have a full volunteer program outside of our 120 full-time paid folks. We're also going to have a program late October into November that we're going to bring a lot of people in, house them, and just totally spread the state to do that. The second thing is, look, we've got to raise about $3 million. I've been busting my hump. We're over $2 million raised. I'm very proud of that, and I'm going to raise the rest. But a full day of ballot chasing costs $175. 100% of that money, Steve, goes to the door knockers' pay, their housing, and their gas. So none of that is going to some, consultant. It goes to the people on the ground. And that's at PAChase.com, $175, sponsors a full day. Would love anybody out there that can step up, even if it's 10 bucks. Honored to have your support. But the way we do this is grassroots funding. I don't get any big money from big pharma, big ag, any of these DC type groups. But luckily, we've had over 2,500 grassroots donors step up to help us fund this thing because they know you win PA, you win the White House. We have one problem to solve, mail-in voting, and we think we have the solution to that.
That's it. Love it. Absolutely love it. Again, click on that link below. Obviously, this is a fight we need to be in. Democrats have used every tool at their disposal to gain an advantage. It's time we push back with everything we got. Fight fire with fire. PA Chase. It's a critical part of making sure Republicans can secure Pennsylvania and beyond. So definitely go click on that link below. Again, PAChase.com. That's PAChase.com. And let's get this puppy done. Cliff, man, you're the best. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing. God bless you, man. We're with you 100%. Anything you need, you just let us know.
We'll see you on the ground. Let's win PA. Thanks, you guys. Take care.